tense because I'm recording something. It just like, hold on, my earphones aren't plugged in because I'm unprofessional as fuck. But I'm gonna edit it down and everything. Like, it's gonna be seamless in the end. So yeah. So let's get started. So what is your name and your year at Antioch?
I'm Angel Malavega, and I am in the class of 2018.
So just diving right into it. How do you feel about the statement, race is not real?
I think race is, on one level, it is a social construct that was created historically to oppress groups that were not the historical definition of what white was. And I still don't exactly understand what whiteness is as an institution, but the creation of it has led to identities that are very real. And I think on some level, the construct isn't, it's complicated. The construct itself, I think, isn't real. Like, there aren't biological differences between me and another person of color or another white person. There aren't that many biological differences. So on some level, we are all human biologically, but at the same time, because of the construction of race, I think it is real on a certain level, and at the same time, it's not. It's complex that way. Like, it has a duality to it, where on some level it isn't real, and in certain situations with certain people, it's as real as anything you can touch or feel. So I think it depends. I don't know if that was a good answer.
That's okay. So I feel as though, like, the question that's coming up in my mind is, how would you perceive it? That's not what I want to say. But how would, if someone was a white person and they say race is not real, I feel like it's different if a person is of color and they say race is not real.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
When people often, it's usually when white folks try to, when they say race isn't real, it's either in this very colorblind kumbaya notion that, oh, we all are human and so we all should be able to get along and forget about that construction of race and how that has been used and how race has been used. And it's often like that connotation is more hurtful and more destructive to the conversation because it ignores that diversity of experience and the range of experiences that people have as non-white people versus when white people are having this discussion. We're having this discussion walking into it knowing that we are all, at least in the United States, this is very like United States-centric, definition of race differs in other places, but we're walking into it knowing that, like, it's a different ballpark, like, it's a different meaning. I think we're not going in with a, like, assumption that, oh, we're all human kumbaya. It's more like, yeah, we're all kind of under this system too, and so it's not, like, we get it, kind of.
I mean, my initial thought when I heard that statement was, like, it was, like, a very convenient notion of just being able to just pretend like nothing is, no tension has ever existed between races, you know, and that any of that is not relevant and illegitimate. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I hear what you're saying. So how do you feel, can you share some of your feelings and thoughts on POC culture on Antioch's campus?
So I think it's kind of interesting trying to understand, like, what is the presence of students of color on campus, because it's kind of all over the place. I mean, we all are able to kind of insert ourselves into the community in very effortless ways. So there's this level of like visibility that occurs because we're involved in everything as everyone else is, but there's a level of kind of what would the campus be like if we weren't here? Like what would that mean? And like because we all have our kind of different niches that we fall into, and so it's easy for us to just like fit in a certain space that we feel comfortable in, and but then there's no communication across those spaces, I feel, amongst different groups, especially like, I don't know, when I found that people of color group existed when I first got here, I was excited because I had never really been in a group like that, and I never really had, I was always the outlier in any group that I was in ever in high school when I didn't fit in, and seeing like, oh, this is an opportunity for me to get to know other students of color, as well as I still try to understand like what that definition was for me, and then coming in and people were like, oh, it's like a black group, and it's like as if that was bad, but I don't know, I kind of noticed that there wasn't like there wasn't a community of students of color. It was more this very disjointed thing versus with a white student body, it's just kind of, they already have a community, you know? We like, they don't really need to think about it. Versus for us, it's kind of, I don't know, there's some students of color that it's hard for me to connect with and talk to, and not because of personal things, it's just they, on a certain level, they don't engage with race in the same way that I want to engage with race. And so the culture is kind of like, what culture do we have? What presence do we have? I don't know, because we're all over the place and we're kind of disjointed. But in very rare moments, there is like some level of unity or solidarity, like in our walkout on during fall quarter, and I saw people that don't really come to things kind of show up and try to take leadership, or during the day of disappearance, and like people being present in the room that are never present in the room, and so I think, and I also think there's a layer of like culture where like, something that adds to the like disconnection, I think, or the disconnect is kind of the difference between like the men of color and the women of color on campus, and specifically in my experience, like the black women on campus and like the men of color kind of don't really jive as well as they could, and it's kind of because like at least I'm only speaking from my experience. I don't know about other women, but at least in my experience, and also just like the black women on campus have this conversation all the time. Like the men of color don't really want to like talk to us or like hang out with us or whatever. It's really hard to get them to hang out and show up if it's not a party. Whereas like I think there's so few men of color that like, it's easy for them to have their group or have their place where they fit in and not want to disturb that and not want to, like, be different. And for us, we're kind of, we have that over, that hyper-visibility that, like, we're always seen. And we're always seen as, like, either the troublemakers or the people always complaining about stuff or the people that's, like, angry or the people that are, this, and the other, and they are just there. And I think also a layer of that is being dudes and not having to deal with a lot of the shit that they can get away with, shit that we wouldn't be able to get away with because they're guys, and I also think there's like a layer of, I don't know, like sexuality that also plays into it, like the guys.
You don't mind me just going into the next question because that's what it pertains to. What kind of social constructs do you feel contribute to racism on campus? Because Alyssa talked about this as well, like sexism is a big part.
Yeah, I think from my own experience and like from other, I don't know, if there's kind of like sexuality plays a role. Like if you're not gonna want to like aggravate the people you sleep with or with, and I think in my experience, I think a lot of guys and some girls don't want to mess up what they have, and so like that construct of like what is sexuality, how does that play out on this campus? It's like this is a very sexual campus, and so if you're not in that, then you're kind of like, or if you choose to have sex outside of this campus, then it's kind of like a, I don't know, you're not in that, you're not in the know. But at the same time, everyone knows who's having sex with each other anyway, which is interesting. But I think sexuality definitely plays a role, because for me, who I don't, like, I choose not to have sex out of my own, like, religious and also just personal, like, code of, like, how I operate as a person. It kind of is awkward because, at least with the men, there are very few men on this campus in general that don't, that interact with girls that they don't want to sleep with. In a completely like platonic way, and I think it's more so for the men of color on campus, specifically like the very few black men, but also like the men of color on campus in general. And like sexuality plays a role in that because you don't want to mess up what you have. I think gender and what is acceptable is also something that plays out a lot on campus, and like what is an acceptable like, expression of your gender, and how, like, for women, at least for women of color on campus, when we get angry about things, when we show up and are loud and present, and when we demand to be heard, there's immediate backlash. There's tone policing. There's people saying like, "Oh, you shouldn't be. You're angry and you're making these things up. We understand that you're upset and you're going through this thing, but you know, I don't know. It's like there's a level of vitriol that I think women of color on campus experience." Because of that duality of both being a woman and both being an other in the sense of race. And like those two things are intertwined in such a way that like you can't separate the two. And like in my first year, I had a lot of incidents with men. Not all were white, but some were. One wasn't, but the rest were. And like when I would talk about it to people or go to ResLite or go to other bodies on campus and or just talk about it, we were like, maybe you're overreacting, maybe this person didn't mean to be this way, or maybe this wasn't a microaggression and maybe you were just like feeling some type of way, versus men saying like, oh, this is bad and this happened to me. And also, I don't think from my experience, I haven't really heard men complain about racial incidents or anything on campus. And I think the layer of that has to deal with masculinity and feeling strong and feeling like you can withstand anything. And then also I think a layer of that might be feeling like it's this is normal, and like this, they've kind of like normalized like this is reality, like this is life, this is college, whatever. Versus the women of color are usually like, no, we're not standing for this bullshit, and we're going to get angry. So I think race and gender, and I also think there's like a saying that I'm learning more about slowly, but it's like called desirability politics, and it's like whether or not you're desirable or like found attractive or whatever plays a role in who you are or how you operate in spaces. And when you're not thin, conventionally attractive, which means usually like either European types of features or just like or it can also mean like you're fetishized and like the features that you have are seen as exotic and like whatever, if you're not that carbon copy of what that is, then you aren't wanted and you aren't seen as like you just aren't seen as valid or whatever. And I see that play out sometimes in terms of like, I don't know, in terms of like dating or like friendships or whatever. People date the same types of people on campus. People like, you don't really see people that are bigger or that are, might not even be like, might be visibly disabled or like not visibly disabled with people who aren't, or like, I don't know. It's that's something that I've noticed a lot. It's like people are, even though people think like, oh, Antioch is so special and radical and whatever, but there's still this aspect of like, people date the same people fuck the same people, that they would, like, there isn't anything radical about, I don't know, only dating like white girls or only dating people who are this specific body type that don't have a big nose or don't have a big lip or who aren't loud or who aren't, I don't know. So that's something I noticed a lot. And I don't know, I think it's race, gender, sexuality.
We have 4 more questions left.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we'll hit them.
Yeah. So that's all I can say.
So if you could explain kind of like the POC, just bring it back to the POC Day of Disappearance and kind of what preluded that, what happened that day, and some reflection on that, if you would.
So the POC Disappearance action to me was a culmination of like kind of months of wondering, like, we needed to take time for ourselves and to kind of detach from the community for a bit and see, like, detach from the community and see what mark that leaves, and see what that says to the larger community. Like, we can, like, if we weren't here, what would Antioch look like? Would you notice our absence? Would you notice that we've been feeling this way for so long, at least in my term, in my view, like, we've been this, I don't know. There are some times when I'm like, wow, everyone sees me, and everyone knows me, and everyone, like, can pinpoint exactly, like, what I'm doing. But I feel like if I stopped going to community meeting, or if I stopped going to a class, or if I stopped, what would that do to the space? And how would that change? So I think part of it was dealing with doing that and showing our visibility and our presence on campus by not being there. And then another aspect, I think, was organizing ourselves and taking time to strategize and taking time to really unpack, like, what has happened? How are we going to deal with that? What are the things we're going to do to improve the, like, goals that we've set for ourselves and improve the lives of POC on campus right now but also for incoming students. And so taking that time to strategize and plan that out, I think, was a purpose of the action. And I think it was impactful for me because for me as a community organizer, I really value plans. I really value coming together and getting people in a space and hearing what they have to say and then doing the work afterwards. And so I really thought that was really special to me, especially to hear the faculty and getting them in the room and seeing what work that they're doing and the things that they notice. And for all of us just to be in that space was so powerful and so uplifting when it was really stressful and hard and we felt like we weren't being heard. And then there's this larger community that we don't really reach out to very often who has some of the same concerns as we do. And so I think that was why it was impactful for me.
Do you, I just completely lost it. Sorry, because I was thinking about my question, that I was getting into what you were saying, and then I, like, do you feel like the conversations we had were constructive or productive in any way?
I think the conversations we had were constructive. I'm still kind of wondering, though, there are ideas, there are really great ideas that we had, but I'm wondering how we can make those into actual plans and, like, start working on them. Because I think there's an issue at Antioch where we come up with great ideas and then never have the time to do them. And so there are things that we talk about that I would love to be a part of and work on. But we all need to commit to doing that. And so I think the conversations were constructive. But we need to kind of check up and ask people, like, hey, you came up with this. Do you still want to work on it? Type of thing.
Yeah, I agree. For me, it was really powerful to see, like, how the faculty, like, everyone, it wasn't just, like, talking in circles, as many of those things do, where everyone's, like, inserts their opinion and then, like, detaches, you know? Mm. It was, like, one person says something, next person responds to it, and then that changes their idea slightly, and then they go on, and it was like this building of something, and it was really meaningful. That was great. Yeah. Okay, so this kind of goes back. Okay, first of all, what do you think of the word segregation to begin with?
I think segregation is a term that, like, I'm a history major, and so I see it as historical system of separation. Designed to keep order and to keep people in a set place and to oppress and to retain. Like, we don't want you here, so we're going to keep you here and we're going to be here and we're going to have better versions of everything, and you can have separate but equal versions of everything as long as you don't come over here and mess with us. And so that's what I think of when I think of segregation.
Do you think that having a POC hall is a form of self-segregation?
Not at all. I think having a POC hall and having the option and the choice to live in a POC hall is the chance to cultivate a community and really cultivate a community that has been dealing with a lot of trauma and a lot of pain. And I think having that option gives students of color the choice to live in a community where they can feel safe, can feel like they can thrive, and feel like they can do more. Within, like, the confines of, like, Antioch, because having, like, you can still go outside and talk and have all the conversations with other white folks. But just having that space and having the choice to have that space isn't a system of keeping order rather than a system of keeping students of color who need that experience at Antioch.
My feeling is that the primary opposition to it is because of the word segregation and because of the words that come associated with it. Like, and on top of that, the like primary opposition is that they believe it will deintegrate our student body and that the culture will not be as rich. Do you have a response to that, or what do you think about that idea?
I think the campus is already at some level, and also depends on people's like niches and where people fit. But I feel like very often we have diversity, but we don't have inclusion. Like, we have all these people in the room, but people don't feel actually comfortable being here and feel like they can thrive here and feel comfortable. And so I feel like we're already kind of detached from one another. And I think this would just give us that chance to recharge, I guess. But I think we're already headed in that direction, but it's kind of a de facto type of de-integration or whatever.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is the importance of culture in someone who is a person of color?
I think having culture, to me, is having a foundation. It's something that grounds me. Like, for me, having a culture and having my unique culture that is similar to other students on campus, but also quite different. And it's like I speak a language that no one else can speak. And it's not special because of that. It's special because it's mine. And I've, like, have that experience, and I have that level of foundation, and this is my history. This is where I come from. This is, even though I don't know much about it, this is the music I have. This is the arts, the, like, my family, my, like, part. It's weaved into, like, my identity and, like, who I am, and trying to cultivate that as much as I can is really hard. But I think it's so valuable for students to explore their culture and to have a chance to weave their own individual cultures into the narrative of Antioch, because we all are part of, we all develop our own culture by being here, by being students at this college. And so I think having culture for a student of color is imperative for them to live and to be like a full person, not just a person, but like have that foundation of who they are.
Sorry, let me just take that in for a second. Okay. Do you believe that having a POC hall is necessary on a small liberal arts campus like Antioch in general?
I think so. I think this campus is very small. But in some ways, there's like a duality of being overstimulated with people and being detached. And I think having that, like, that hall, that safe space, that community creates a level of intimacy and community that the larger community right now doesn't serve. And so having that, it would serve that purpose, because this is a small community, but we still don't know people. We know of people, we talk about people, we don't fully recognize and honor and respect people. And so because of that failing, that I think most of us have like failed to understand, like, I think it's like a systematic thing, as well as a, sorry.
It's okay.
As well as like a, as well as a personal thing. I think it's necessary to have that space. And if we didn't have that space, then that's just serving to push people out.
Do you believe that the overstimulation comes in part by the need for people of color to fill this quota of this kind of, you know, they're creating Antioch, Antioch has people of color, and people of color are constantly having to correct people and educate people? Do you feel that?
Yeah, I think Gabrielle said something on the day of disappearance that really stuck with me, like, where, as students of color, we're doing double duty. We're doing our own stuff and taking care of ourselves, hopefully, but also dealing with the racial shit that everyone else doesn't, that white people and some people of color, some students of color who don't, who aren't as aware of things. We deal with that. We take that labor on. And so for us who are doing, continuously doing this double duty, it's overwhelming and it's stressful and it's exhausting and it's draining and it makes people want to leave or it makes people leave. And I think that, there's a certain level of stimulation that is good. There's a certain level of engaging with race and gender and class and identity that is healthy and necessary in order to have a functioning society. However, because this place is too small, we're here for 11 weeks, and we see everybody every day, it's with like incessant questions, it's really stressful to have to deal with all that all the time. And that overstimulation, I think, and doing that overstimulation coupled with doing double duty and taking on everything at once, both of those things combined are really dangerous for anyone, especially students of color.
How do you feel when you're around other people of color in POC group?
I think in POC group, it's a really comfortable space. It's really interesting because I was thinking about today and I was talking to a friend who's also POC. Like, it's really hard to connect with POC sometimes because we have such varying experiences. And so for me, like, there are some groups of people of color that I never really interacted with ever until I came here. And so I'm learning more all the time, and it's a really comfortable space to learn and to mess up and to be comfortable messing up because you know each other, and it's not out of bad intent. It's a result of experiences and different experiences, and it's also just a really kind community to be a part of, which is interesting because I don't feel that way about the larger POC community really. But in that group, the people that show up to that group are always full of like a lot of kindness, a lot of joy. And like when we have POC dinners and we have like we take the time to enjoy our company, it means a lot.
Do you feel appreciated in POC group?
Yeah, I think POC group has done a lot for me in having like that space to vent and having that space to laugh and be happy when Antioch is really stressful. And so I think NPOC group more so than the rest of the community, I feel appreciated, I think.
And the final question. Yellow Springs was once a place of great diversity as well as a safe haven for people of color, greatly due to the fact of Antioch College. Do you feel this is a goal that can be reattained?
I think there's a layer of, like, again, systematic issues that would make that really difficult. Yellow Springs is becoming more and more gentrified. A lot of the people of color that used to live here are moving out to Xenia and Springfield because they can't afford to live here. And putting it in perspective, like, you can get a home, even in Columbus, you can get a home, you can find a place for like $97,000. Versus here, their house is for $500,000, like down the block. And so I think for some reason, Yellow Springs is this place that people want to go to. And which means it's going to be more expensive for people to come and live here. And I think for people of color, for the vast majority of people of color who are already at a wealth, there's already a wealth gap between people of color and white people, even middle-class white people. Like, it would be very difficult to, like, bring that community here. But I think if Antioch grows, and if Antioch improves the ratio of students of color, I think that also could bring more people in to the into Yellow Springs, because a lot of people, right after they graduate, they live here for a year or two. And then some people stay, or there are some townies that have been here their whole lives and never left. And I think if there was a combination of the right time, the right availability of somewhat affordable housing, and more students of color, I think that could help.
Are there any last kind of statements or comments or anything you want to touch more on? Those are all the questions I have.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. Thank you so much for letting me interview you. No, it was really great.